Discover personally how the Word of God can affect a change in your life through the ministry of Bishop Dykewood Mills. Dykewood Mills is the founder of the Lighthouse Chapel International, a denomination with over 2,000 branches worldwide. He is a healing evangelist and the author of several best-selling books. He is also the pastor of the First Love Church, a campus ministry with over 200 branches. The First Love Church is a vibrant church with young, energetic people, full of first love for the Lord. Now listen to Dykewood Mills. That draws us to.
Nobody else like you. Not my mother, not my. Yeah. touch you. You don't care about my mission.
Thank you. happening in my life. I'm in love and I think I'm gonna get married. I'm sure you're thinking, ooh. Oh, this is so good to hear. Love is strong as death. True love is strong as death. The floods cannot drown it. Whatever God does, it shall be forever. Love is strong as death. It shall be forever. My beloved is such a nice guy. So sweet, so gentle, and so kind. I can't believe God will give me someone so good. Never had so much love and attention. I'm sure you're thinking, ooh. Oh, this is so good to hear. Love is strong as death. Many waters cannot quench it. True love is strong as death. The floods cannot drown it. Such love turn into bitterness, and I am praying, ooh. Oh, may our love last forever. May our love be strong as death. So many waters cannot quench it. May our love be strong as death. So the floods can't drown it. So I've been praying about my relationship, and I'm sure you're praying about yours too. I'm having counseling, I'm soaking in the Word of God, I'm building a good foundation. Whoa. May our love be strong as death. So many waters. May our love be strong as death, so the floods cannot drown it. Whatever God does, it shall be forever. Love is strong as death, it shall be forever. Oh, love is strong as death, it shall be forever. Yeah, love is strong.
Amen. Are you having a great time in the presence of the Lord? Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for testimonies. Amen. How many of us are becoming wiser through the testimonies? May we receive wisdom as we hear the testimonies this morning. Please put your hands together as we welcome Emanuela Agre to share her testimony with us.
Thank you. everyone. My name is Emanuela Agri, and I'm from First Love UCC, and I'm a member of the Greater Love Choir. I want to give all the glory to God and to testify about how God healed my mother and my father of cancer and blessed me with a land of my own. Amen. Earlier last year, my mother was diagnosed of cancer, and my siblings and I decided that this is the work of the devil, so we are not going to the hospital. We are going to pray it out. So, I mean, later in the year, it got really bad. My mother is very fair, and she's a little plump, but she became very dark and slim, and she wasn't even good to look at. So I was in school at the time, and my sister was also in school, so she came for First Love service. And Daddy preached and said that we shouldn't despise the wisdom that's in medicine. So my sister heard the message and called my mother. Said, this is what Daddy said, that we shouldn't despise the wisdom in medicine. So I think you should go to the hospital. And I also called her and I confirmed that, yes, we should go to the hospital. When she went to the hospital, the doctor said that it had become too bad. So she had to undergo a major surgery. And we were all very scared considering her age and all that. So the date for the surgery was due. And she went to the theater. But the doctor, upon entering the theater, they brought her back out and said that they won't do it today. It's too serious. They are not sure they can do it today. So they rescheduled her for another date. And we were praying. During the time that she was rescheduled, we were always praying, taking the communion every morning, every evening. Our prayer was that God will let the thing disappear so that she just doesn't have to have any knife cuts. But God didn't let it disappear. the due dates reached and she had to go for the surgery and there was nobody to take care of her. So I was advised and I deferred my course for a year. It was I cried and all that. And when my mother heard that I deferred for her sake, she also cried a lot. But we knew it was for a good cause. And so she was taken to the theater. They had the surgery. During the period in the hospital, we kept taking the communion. And Daddy blessed oil for us earlier in the year. And we were always applying the oil on her. And by the grace of God, after surgery, she was supposed to stay in the hospital for like 3 weeks. She left the hospital in 1 week and 2 days. Amen. And afterwards, my daddy was also diagnosed of similar cancer. And my daddy he was never really there for us. He wasn't really there for us. We weren't as concerned as we were about my mom's situation. But then the doctor said that it was a 50-50 chance of survival for my dad, who also had to undergo a surgery. And we didn't want him to die. So during the Good Friday service, the Good Friday service was like 4 days to his date for the surgery. And Daddy prayed over the communion. He said, I bind the spirit of untimely death. Daddy prayed and prayed against cancer. And I told my siblings that I'm at the service and I'm taking this communion for my dad, that he will not die. He should go through the surgery. So we took the communion and he knew that there would be nobody to take care of him as he was going to the hospital. So he went on his own and even paid one of the cleaners that from time to time, please come and be buying food for me. And so the first day he went to the hospital, on the second day I arrived at the hospital. He said, what are you doing? I said, Daddy, I'm coming to take care of you. He was like, are you serious? I said, yes, Daddy, I'm coming to take care of you. And by the grace of God, I was with him, taking him through his tests, through the different surgery parts. And the day he was going for the surgery, he spent the whole day at the theater. I was there with him. He came out and saw me late in the evening. I was still there. And Confanochi Hospital, you go for visiting at 6 a.m. and 3 p.m. in the evening. Every 6 a.m. I was there. Every 3 p.m. I was there buying drugs, running errands, and all that. And by the grace of God, he was discharged. So when we went home, my daddy is very secretive. He will never tell you about his work, his property. He doesn't really tell us much. But when we went home, he called me and said, Mommy, I want to thank you for coming to take care of me. And I have a big plot of land. He mentioned the place and he said that I want to give it to you. I am giving it to you. I have a building plan too. I have a drawn out building plan too. I am adding it to you, and I want to say thank you for coming to take care of me. And I really thank God, because this year is a year of greatness. And at the beginning of the year, I had to defend my cause. I was so sad. I said, God, why should this happen to me in this year? But not knowing, God has had a bigger plan for me. By the grace of God, I'm closest to my parents than any of my siblings, and I find it such a great blessing. I want to say thank you to Daddy for the prayers, for the encouragement. My family, we are a family of pastors. My mother is a pastor. My brother is a pastor. I want to be a pastor. And it's all because Daddy obeyed the call. And we are all in church. And we are happy. And we are serving God. And I want to thank God for your life, Daddy. God bless you. Thank you for teaching me to honor my father. Thank you for giving me the basic foundation to start building. And I pray to God that I'll be able to build very soon. Thank you.
Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you are becoming wiser through the testimonies? We have our final testimony. Help me welcome Jacqueline Agbodo to share her testimony with us.
Hallelujah. I want to testify of your vision. My name is Jacqueline Agbodo from First Love Ukraine, and I want to testify of a vision I had after Galatians 6:6 last year. So we had a very packed service, and after the service, we're really tired. So I'm normally in our room. The testimony is about a vision of the power of messages while sleeping. So after the service, we're really tired. So normally in our room, we play messages while we are sleeping or out or anything. But I think we're really tired, so we fell asleep. So I was praying, and I fell into a nap. And then I entered into a vision. And in the vision, it was really, it felt really real. So an evil spirit entered into the room, and my roommates were sleeping. And so I was up, and they were sleeping. So he was just about to enter into them, and I was very confused. So I asked him, how do you enter into Christians who are sleeping? Like, and he was like, there's no covering. And I said, what do you mean by there's no covering? And he was like, normally when you play the messages, you create a covering, because most of the time we Christians are inactive when we are asleep. And so I was really so confused about this. So when I woke up, I realized that there was no message playing. And so, I mean, I woke them up in case they were alive and and everything. But so when I woke up, I realized the importance of messages while we're sleeping. And the second thing is, Daddy had the prophetic spice message all the way in Ukraine. I was listening to it. And I want to say that, Daddy, right after that prayers, I have visions and dreams. Ever since I put my hands on my eyes while you're praying, I've started to see things, started to notice when there are things in the room, when there's a good spirit and there's an evil spirit and stuff. And I want to say that we should all be encouraged by the message, even all the way from Ukraine. It is working in our lives and it's very effective in our lives. So I want to thank you for the messages.
Amen. How many of you are becoming wiser through the testimonies? When we sleep, we should sleep with preaching. Hallelujah. I believe we have been edified through the testimonies. And ladies and gentlemen, we are moving from strength to strength. And if you're excited about that, help me welcome Ida!
Build a house. Will you?
Amen. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the word of God. Amen. I believe this morning God has a word for you and I. If you're excited about that, make your loudest noise as we welcome our daddy, Bishop Dagewood Mills.
Father, thank you for this blessing today. Lift your hands and ask God to speak to you. Pray that it will not just be another Sunday, but something taking you to another level is entering your life today. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, are you glad to be in church? Glory to God. Today you are moving to a new level. Whatever people feel sorry for you about, God is taking it away from you in Jesus' name. Whatever makes people say sorry to you, today it's leaving in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, do you believe this prophecy? Whatever makes somebody feel sorry for you is going out of your life today in Jesus' name. Whatever makes somebody say sorry to you has been taken away today in Jesus' name. You are healed. You are delivered. You are free. You are blessed. Receive the blessing in Jesus' name. You may be seated. God's leadership plan for your life. Take somebody somewhere. Part two. And the final part. God's leadership plan for you. Now, God plans to lead you. And God plans to make you into a great leader. Hallelujah. Are you excited about that? Fantastic. Now, and how is he going to do that? Wonderfully, you have to learn how God plans to lead you today. Amen. And God's leadership plans for you is in his voice. For you, his voice. Everybody say the voice of God. Now, you heard that testimony about the sister listening to messages. And as she's in having a vision, she's seeing devils entering into somebody as they are sleeping. That's why people wake up with a bad mood. Yes. Wake up and you are annoyed. Whilst you are asleep, something entered you. Yes. It's not good to sleep and put on CNN and other bad news and you sleep with it. Sometimes there are things they are saying are all lies. So lies and evil spirits are just entering to you. You are using it to sleep. Evil spirits have 5 points of entry. because you have 5 points of entry into your body. Your eyes, most bad things, eyes, seeing. You see and you fear. You're afraid the whole life. Your nose, most many diseases, death, Ebola, tuberculosis, they have been around for years. We have just got physical names for them. It's come from the nose. Airborne diseases. And the mouth is the next one. The next point of entry. Food. Almost every disease is from what you eat or what you drink and what you breathe in. Then hearing, what you hear. Evil spirits come from the things you've heard. Faith comes by hearing. Fear also comes by hearing. Fear is a type of faith. It's a faith in the negative. You are with somebody who is always afraid of something. The person has faith that that thing will happen. And it comes by hearing. And then under. Why are you making noise? All the evil spirits that come through fornication and adultery from the front hole. Yes, revelations. Babylon is fallen. Has become the hold of devils because of her fornication. Revelations 18. Many people are. Some ladies are attractive because they have devils in them. They are not more attractive. They have devils. That's why the flesh stands out. The flesh is fairer and more beautiful to you. They are all devils. And then the back hole, which is the last entry point, is the homosexual spirit. That's a serpent. It's a constrictor boa or python or anaconda because it's very tight. Something you can't get free of, really struggle to peel off, is a snake. That's why you should try not to be. You must have a proper respect for snakes. Those people who put pythons around, and you should pray that it doesn't feel like squeezing. All right? So, I don't know how we got into that, but somebody needed to hear that. So, guard your holes. Wow. Anyway, it sounds funny, but you see, it's fantastic, but it is real. Yeah. Right. God's leadership plan for you is to lead you through His voice. Number one, Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 10. If the iron is blunt and he do not wet the edge, then must he put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. So one of the uses of wisdom is direction for your life. Leadership, leading you somewhere, directing you in your life. So to lead is to direct. Take somebody somewhere is one of the definitions. It's just one of the definitions in the dictionary, to take somebody somewhere. And you are being taken somewhere to your long-awaited place of promotion. Amen? So, wisdom is profitable to direct. Then, 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. right? It says that from a child, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise. So the scripture is able to make you a wise person, and therefore it's able to direct you. So from a child, thou hast known the scriptures. So the word. You see, we all know 2 Timothy 3:16, that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. But the 15 is also very important, because it's the one that says that from a child you have known the holy scripture, which is able to make you wise. So to become wise, and therefore, according to Ecclesiastes 10:10, wisdom is profitable or useful to direct your life. Because it's really about direction. You know, you need wisdom because of all the problems that there are in and through marriages. People really feel the sense and the need for direction when they are about to get married. All right? But for the other things as well, you need a lot of wisdom, because poverty, happiness, peace, security, and all the things we desire also need and come from the decisions you take and the direction you have in your life. So we really need direction, you know, in what to do. So the Bible is this full of the scripture, and the scripture is able, it is what can make you wise. So even though I have the biographies of Lee Kuan Yew and the biographies of Clinton, Bush, and all these people, I have it in my library. If you come, I'll show them to you. Somebody like me, I've not read even a page. I don't even know why I carry them to my house. I have them, maybe one day I'll read. And I don't have the time. But the scripture, if I could share with you, which I won't, but if I could share with you, for instance, the wisdom that God gave me this night or morning, it's so profitable for directing me and advising me. You know, this is amazing. So the scripture, 2 Timothy 3:15, I want you to add it to the scriptures that you feel are important. The ones that you are learning, you know, that, and that thou from a child hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. That word salvation is sozo. It's not just going to heaven. Sozo is everything. Deliverance, healing, every part of your life, prosperity. That's why people teach salvation to include all those things, because they are all linked. All right? So, beautiful scripture showing you that God's word is wonderful for direction. If it has not benefited you in terms of giving you direction, then you've not really understood how to use the scripture and the Bible. It's a pity, because the most phenomenal and important guidances I have experienced have come from reading the Bible. For instance, the step to be in full-time ministry, the decision to be in full-time, it came from reading the Bible. Timothy, give thyself wholly to these things. It was my quiet time that morning. I was lying on a blue carpet. Maybe that's why this carpet is blue. Just like this one. Yes. Give thyself wholly. 1 Timothy 4:15. When I read that, it came alive to me that I must now give myself wholly. Today, I don't need to work again till I die. It's true. I can go on retirement. All my churches will run. They run. You see, I've already handed them over. Oh, you don't understand it? Yes. They will run by themselves. They are running. It's not that they will. Yes. I've not been pastoring at the Kodesh for many years now. And it's a big church with a lot of money. The other day I went to ask them to give some funds to help with the crusade. They really gave. I really appreciate them. Yeah. I just went once and said, please give us some money for a crusade. They gave us a lot of money. Just after the offering. Yes, after the offering. I said, oh, please, I'm going to Zambia. I need some money. They gave me. That's why I'm saying I don't have to work till I die by the grace of God. But it came from a decision I took from a scripture because of 2 Timothy 3:15 that the scripture is able. You see, maybe it's not doing that for you, but it has the ability. Maybe it's not working like that way for you. It says the scripture which are able, it has the capacity to make a person wise. But maybe it's not working that way for you. Maybe you are reading like a storybook, Noah's Ark or something. Yeah, maybe it's like Noah's Ark story, some kind of stuff. But to me, it makes me want. That's why, honestly, if I'm not again, I've watched a documentary on Lee Kuan Yew. Lee Kuan Yew is one of the greatest leaders that this world has ever seen. Oh, yes. You should visit Singapore from shore to shore. Clean, prosperous, one of the most prosperous and richest countries in the whole world. Oh, I know that. I was in a church. I mean, how big was the church? You can't even imagine. They don't even take offerings. Just, throughout the week, you have programs. No, we don't take offerings. We just take all tithes on Sunday. That's all. Millions. Few people. We don't take offering during the week, said, you know. They rather made food for everybody. Yeah. You'll be seeing nice things in your life and things you haven't imagined that you will see. He is one of the, and he created Singapore. Yes, Lee Kuan Yew was their first president. Yeah, he was in the ranks of Kwame Nkrumah and Co. They went to Oxford School in Oxford, Cambridge. Oxford, Cambridge. Yes, he went to Cambridge and so on. Then came back to his country and became a leader and then got independence from England and led his country to prosperity. Yes, with a strong hand. Yeah. You have the whipping. He introduced the caning. If you break some laws, they cane you. Yeah. One day I was going into a public toilet. They told me, make sure you flush. If you go to a public toilet, not a private, public toilet, you don't flush. And they go back there and they see there's something you left there. You be caned. Somebody has a t-shirt on all the laws of Singapore. If you break them, what you be caned for? Yes. Lashed. If you litter, if you drop something, and it's not allowed, chewing gum is not allowed in that country. No. It's illegal. It's like cigarettes or the drugs or something. They check for chewing gum. You come to spoil the country. And we don't allow, this place is like Singapore, don't allow chewing gum in the church. Don't bring chewing gum here or chew gum when I'm preaching. And we'll cane you, yes. I have a stand up so that you see how big you are. He will cane you. Yes. I'm saying it's not that he's not wise. Very, very wise man. Very wise. He made the government like a business. He said that if you are a minister of the government business is the most important business and it's the biggest business. And he said that the good people don't work for the government. That's what he said. He said good people don't work for the government. We want the good people who can really make a difference to work for the government so the country will do well. And to get such good people, you have to pay them like you are paying multi-millionaire businessmen. So he brought them and paid them very, very, very high, like chief executives of huge companies. Those are the people that work for the government. They come and see the government, the richest. Then you see people criticizing him, saying whatever. He silenced all of them and said, no criticism. Don't criticize the government. If you have an opinion, form a political party and election time, you say what you think. But till then, don't criticize what we are doing. Yes, he silenced all those, all the accusers. It does not help him. He said you are confusing the people. You're confusing the people. This rubbish and so on. So, you know, Chinese sometimes they can have quite a bit of debt. They said he used to, like, somebody in his house upstairs, like a story building, very high, maybe 20 floors, 10 floors. Then when they have rubbish, they throw it out of the window. Yes, so they used to just throw the rubbish out. Like even an old television, and they throw it out of the window. It's like they don't want all this. That's, they introduce the whipping. You see the place. It's beautiful. You'll be there. I said you will be there. Why should you not go to Singapore? You are going in Jesus' name. At least for a visit and you come back. And you said this is a prophecy that has come to pass. Practically. Yeah. Fantastic. So, all these newspapers and foreign newspapers that criticize and just away. They are all lies. Go. Simple. So, you know, I'm not saying that it's not a good thing, but I'm saying that the Bible is giving so much information that I don't even need that. Now, error in your life must be avoided. Everybody say, I don't want to make a mistake. Now, what brings mistakes? Mark 12:24. Mark 12:24. And Jesus answering and said, do ye not therefore err? You, in other words, are you not making mistakes? Err is error. Not err. Someone said to err is human. Like to bring out bad gas is human. No, that is not what it means. To make a mistake, to make an error. No, that's not what it means. Not air, not gas. Air, error, E-R-R, error. It's human. So, to err, to make an error in your life, all right, is quite human. Now, Jesus is giving the reason for the mistakes of your whole life. Look at it. Do you not therefore err or make mistakes? Why? Because you don't know the scriptures and you don't know the power of God. These two things. So the mistakes of your life are from the lack of the knowledge of the scripture of the word of God. Not the lack of knowledge of Lee Kuan Yew's life. I've told you that it's great, and I told you you'll be in Singapore to see for yourself. Yes. But I'm saying that is nice, but the scripture, you're not knowing the scripture and not also knowing the power of God. You see, there are two things that make you make mistakes in life. The lack of knowledge of the scripture and also the power. Now, the power of God has to do with the God part that is not in the scripture. Something of God, the power of God, or things to do with God, the power of God, that is not written. Because it's not all the word of God that is written. The word of God has two parts. Unfortunately, in the English, we just say the word. But some are translated Rima and some are translated Logos. Logos is written and Rima is spoken. So some of the time when we say the word of God, we actually mean the spoken word. When God would have spoken to you. And other times when we mean what God has written. So not everything is written. Not everything. The Bible is not all the guidance you can get. There's guidance from God's word that is not written. And that brings you to the voice of God. Yes, the voice, God's voice, when God is speaking, but it's not written in the scriptures. You see, that is where all the problems come. Well, not all, but a lot. When people get up and say, God spoke to me yesterday. He told me that I should destroy your church and take half of the congregation away. It's a new day in my life. Maybe he will not say the destroy part, but he will say that God told me that I should leave. I had one pastor like that in Zurich. Not exactly Zurich. He was from Zurich and then he went out. He came one day like that. He went home to his home country, came back and said that he had met a prophet. And the prophet told him, thus says the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Go out and it's a new day, a new dimension. So I said, what is a new day? His new day was to start a church, which he started with the entire congregation of one of our churches. But actually, just a couple of weeks ago, I met a lady. She told me that, look, every time you say that this pastor took everybody, I always want to correct you and tell you that I didn't follow that guy. So she came to introduce herself. She said, look, I was in the church. I didn't go anywhere. I'm here. I'm still here. I'm here by God's grace. So I took a picture with her and her children. Yeah. You will never be deceived by a rebel. You will never be deceived by a disloyal person. You will never be confused by a false prophet. In Jesus' name. So today marks the end of mistakes. How many have some mistakes you wish you could cancel? Sit down. You know, I'll tell you something. You know something that I do I didn't used to do? Whenever I'm signing the marriage register, you know, when we have weddings, I try to officiate as many as I can. All my children. I have to be at your wedding. Yes. Now, listen. Whenever, what happens is that we are six people who sign. Six people sign the register. Actually, no, seven. Seven people sign. Seven people have to sign that document. Yes. The couple signs, four witnesses sign, then the pastor signs. So when the six have signed, then it's my turn. Then I have to write the time. Like if it's an afternoon wedding, let's say 2:17 p.m. Like this is the time. Should in case you come up later and say you married somebody else on the same day and then the time is well, this one was at 2 o'clock. That other one was at 5. But anyway, before I sign, I asked them, but I didn't used to ask them. Are you sure you want me to sign? Because I tell them, when I sign, that's it. Oh, you can't change your mind again. And they all say, please sign it. I said, are you sure? They say, please sign. Are you sure? They say, I should sign. Then I sign. Hey. Because not easy to cancel. Not easy to divorce. One of the difficult things is to divorce. There are three stressful things in the world. Death of a spouse, divorce, and construction. Yes. Yes. They are the three top stressful things in the world. Death of a spouse, divorce, and then construction. Yes. Building. It's not a small thing. Yes. That's why there's very little building. Are you there or you are leaving? So you will not make mistakes like you've made before. Because the scripture is your solid foundation. It says in 2 Timothy 3:15, you have known the scripture which is able But I hope it's doing that for you. Is it doing that for you? Yes, like it makes you wise in every circumstance. You, not everything is written in the Bible. Let's say, because cigarettes were invented after. So, you see, it's not in the Bible, thou shalt smoke, thou shalt not smoke. But the scripture is able to make you wise when it comes to smoking. There's guidance in the scripture. Because the Bible will say that all things are lawful, but I don't want to be brought under the power. So anything that is addictive is dangerous. It takes over from God and guides you. It leads you. Very dangerous. If it's addictive. That's why masturbation has that part. So it's actually the addictive part that is the evil part of it. Because it is used to get sperms for sperm analysis. Let's be serious. That is what it's used for. There's one at least good use of it. Yes. How do you think they get the sperm for the sperm count? From heaven? Be serious. Tell someone, are you serious or not? Tell your neighbor, no more mistakes for me, please. Now, Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Wisdom and direction for your life from God's voice. And I like Micah 6, 8. That's what everybody knows. It says, he has showed thee, O man, what is good. And I want you to take this as one of your memory verses, Micah 6, 8. But I'm going to 9 as well, but let's be with 8 for now. He hath shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee. Amen. To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. You know, this is a beautiful scripture. He hath shown thee, O man, what is good. We should have a song of this verse. And what doth the Lord require? What does God expect? You see, he showed us in his word. He has shown thee, O man or O woman. Don't even start that. Woman or man. To do justly. To love mercy. And to walk humbly. Nothing. Our brother who was ordained came to humble himself and kneel and humble himself to walk humbly with thy God. You see, you can see it from the Bible. Even if you don't have a voice, if you read this, it can guide you. I don't know whether the scriptures are guiding you. Those of you who think that God, you see, one of the things you know is a false prophet is when there are too many dreams. Because the Bible says, in the multitude of dreams, there is vanity. You see, but there's nothing like too much scripture. The scripture is our solid base for guidance. So, he has showed thee, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require from you in this life. So, this scripture is going to tell us what is good. And what does the Lord require from you in this life and in this world? To love mercy, to love, to do justly, and to walk humbly. Now, verse 9 is also interesting. The Lord's voice crieth unto the city. Do you see? You see, God's voice is crying. And the man of wisdom shall see thy name. Hear ye the rod, and who has appointed it? So this scripture, you know, listen. Excuse me. Can I say something? Some of us only want to read things that you can understand. Do you remember when Jesus Christ was talking about Lazarus when he was going to raise him from the dead? He said, "Our friend sleeps," and so on. Then at that point, the Bible says, and he said plainly, Lazarus is dead. You see, that is the clear one. But the one before were mystical, but very full of God's message. So when you see a mystical scripture, don't run away from it, because it's loaded. Because unfortunately, some of the plenty mystical ones are not followed by a plain one where they say, okay, now let me tell you plainly, Lazarus is dead. So if you like and you leave out the mystical scripture, you are going to leave out a lot of things that God is planning for you. So Micah 6 verse 9, you cannot leave it out, please. It says, the Lord's voice cries to the city, his voice. Oh. Now, not the scripture, his voice. And the man of wisdom, you see, fools can't even hear. When you're talking to a fool, you can sense the person is not even listening. You know, I say medical students, sometimes I come and I always give them advice. Because me, I've been a medical student. I was a medical student for 7 years. I always have a lot of advice for them. Do this, do this, do this. You see them. Some of them don't even listen. You can see. You tell them, do this, do this. They feel they were the best in the Western region or the best in Central region. And the medical school doesn't go by those credentials. 10 ones, 8 A's. 2 sets of 8 A's. This is not how we go to medical school. But the man of wisdom will see. And then it says, colon, hear ye the rod, and who has appointed. So the man of wisdom sees, he hears, and he even hears the correction, the rod. And he knows who has appointed that correction, that it is a good correction that he's receiving. But when you are not a man of wisdom, you don't understand even a correction. When you are being corrected, you just get bored. This man hates me. How many have been bored with somebody who corrected you before? Raise your right hand. Yes, all of us, you see. And a lot of husbands and wives have that. So pray that the person you married is already trained. Because when you marry an untrained person, and you have to train, you have to explain that, look, do you know that you put salt in rice before? Maybe in your house we put salt, but in my house we don't put salt in rice. I don't know about whatever. If you like, go to Japan and see. In Japan, in India, they don't put salt in rice. Hey. Sorry. It became a big thing because of the salt that was mentioned. Some of you don't even know how to bath. When you marry, the person you marry may point out to you that, excuse me, this place is smelling. I just want to show you something. Hey! What do you mean by that? Do you know how many times I bath? Why do you say that? I don't have to do that. Sorry. Small rod, it has turned into a conflagration. Check the word conflagration. Conflagration. Please be ready to give me definitions on my thing. Conflagration. One small point of correction or point of order. It has turned into a conflagration followed by a mood and an attitude. A large fire. Destructive fire. Just one suggestion. It has turned into a large fire. A very intense and uncontrolled fire. Just because of the salt. Just because of the same bath well. Hey. So pray that the person you marry is already trained. Because if he's untrained and you are training, say, now do this. Eh? Do you think I'm one of those prostitutes? Do you think I'm a prostitute? You should hear people talking. Those people are trained. Yes, they are paid for what they are doing. But he has also paid to marry you. So anyway, pray for training. Now, how many want to hear the voice of God more? Psalm 29. If ever you are interested in the voice of God, Psalm 29 is beautiful. But do you remember Micah 6:8? Don't forget Micah 6:8, okay? He has shown thee, O man, what is good and what doth the Lord require of thee. To do justly, to love and to walk. To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly. Humbly. This is advice. Micah 6:8. It's your home. You are taking it home. Micah 6:8. Amen. Now, the voice of God is very key now. Let's look at Psalm 29. Anytime you are interested in the voice of God, Psalm 29, verse 1. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Wow. Verse 2. Give unto the Lord glory, due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. So God is saying we should worship him. We should worship him. Verse 3. Now, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth, and the Lord is upon many waters. Now, waters always represent people in the Bible. Like when it's waters, it's like it represents people, like a lot of people over the waters. All right. So God's voice is in the world, but it's up to us whether we are going to hear his voice. And his voice thundereth. The glory, the God of glory thundereth. God is making big noise. Yeah. People are going to be shocked when they die and they find out God is so great. And they are already shocked. Verse 4. The voice of the Lord is powerful. You see? The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. You know, in your life, this is the most powerful voice that you need for anything. The voice of the Lord is powerful. When God speaks to me, just one thing, it's okay for me. Years ago, the Lord spoke to me to honor Bishop Duncan Williams. Since then, this is all. I don't need anything else. I just feel that it's something that he told me to do. Voice of the Lord. One time I was in Scotland, I woke up early in the morning and the voice of the Lord was very loud in the room. I should not do this. It was not a sin or something, but there was something, an activity. Don't do this again. It guides me. It's very powerful, the most powerful guidance and voice for your life. The voice of the Lord is powerful. It's more powerful than your father's voice, your mother's voice, your sister's voice, your friend's voice, your boyfriend's voice. When you see God says this and another person is saying something else, don't forget, the voice of the Lord is full of majesty. It's majesty. When you follow, you move into majesty, into kingship, into becoming. Majesty has to do with royalty. So when you follow God's voice, you become more royal, more glorious, more honorable. Voice of the Lord. Verse 5. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. Cedar was used for building because of the tenacity and the strength of the cedar. It was like concrete pillars. Whatever is in your life that is resistant has made itself very strong, too strong to be broken. The voice of the Lord breaks it now in Jesus' name. That is why there are parents who come and thank me for their children serving God. And there are parents who thank me. Someone even wrote a letter to me. A man wrote a whole letter. He said his daughter was so antagonistic to him. Look at this girl who was giving the testimony today. She said their father was not there for them. But if you are here in this church, if you don't hear anything, you hear one thing, which is that you must honor your father. Even if he's a goat, you honor him. Even if he's a goat, you honor him. Honor the goat. If your father is a goat, even you honor him. If he's in prison, I have church members. I remember one of my members, he told me, my father is in prison. I said, you are the goat to the prison. Honor him. Take him food every time. But he said, he always goes to prison. I said, it doesn't matter. We are not interested in the crimes. The man is your father. Even he may have been stealing because of you. You don't even know. To pay your fees. I don't know. But that is not the point. I say, if your father is a goat, you honor. That's all. This God's powerful voice. And you see, children that cannot be controlled by anybody, when they come to know God, look at what he says. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. What even police cannot do. What parents cannot do. What nobody can do. The voice of God, when they hear the word of God, is able to break the cedars. Look at your life and be truthful. Even your mother could not change you. Your father cannot change you. You're deceiving him and playing sulia every day. You are doing something in the house. Nobody knows you even. They don't even know who you are. Look at our sister Wotella. She used to jump over the wall, going out. A young girl, but a hardened and wicked sinner can be changed by just the voice of God coming. The voice of the Lord is powerful, breaking the cedars. It breaketh the cedars. So as for the voice of God, it's very well. Anytime you see someone who starts to listen to podcasts, start to listen to message, the person will change. Me, I know people who listen to message, and I know those who don't listen to messages. I can just, when you talk with them, it's even a church. You go to a church, it's almost like the church has just become soft because they've been listening. Whatever is hard is broken. But when you go to a church and they are not into listening, the members are not into listening, it's like some cedars are standing in front of you. Break at the cedars. Whatever stands as, you see, even your, you see some of you, your temperament. I tell you, it's a cedar. It's a cedar. It's like you are phlegmatic and lazy, and that is all. You cannot change. But you see, the words of God can change that. Some of you are choleric and wicked. That the cedar of wickedness and cholerism can be broken by the voice of God. Yes. One brother, he brought his wife, he sent his wife, unbreakable wife, unbreakable cedar. I spoke to her the word of God, and I blasted her into with the word of God. I blasted the word into her. Pam, pam, pam. Yes, that was the end of the problem. For more than 15 years, that was the end of it. Yes, cedar was broken, just like that. The word of God is power. The voice of God is powerful. Bring my son back, please. Verse 6. He maketh them also to skip like a calf. You see people who are not cheerful, they will become cheerful from the voice of God. Look at them. As if they nothing can move them. And you see, when you take Germany, England, Switzerland, if you disturb, they will call the police. This one is disturbing. He was shouting the house. He's making noise. Playing music. Flushing the toilet. Switzerland, you don't flush the toilet after 10. When Yes. They will write a letter. All your neighbors can write a letter to you. Calling, police and so on. Yes. But when they go to soccer, then suddenly you see that the real person can shout and make noise and fool around. Isn't it? Yes. But it's only that they've decided that when it comes to church, you will not shout, you will not sing, you will not be happy. Or in marriage, you will not sing, you will not be happy. Yes. You see some people, instead of singing at home in your marriage, you don't know, only when they are annoyed that they start singing. Oh God, my help in ages. They are calling on God for help. I hope for years to come. I shelter from the stormy blast. Look, you've been blasted. You've been blasted. And you are singing hymns as a comfort. But God is able to make the stiffest person to skip like a calf. Yeah. You see some people, especially those who wear glasses, they look very serious. Like they don't understand certain things, like they are kind of like very serious about everything. Hey! But when it comes to certain things, I knew a man once, you know, I saw him, big glasses, he had big glasses. As if he can't talk. The girls that he has chased, when they started to say, we are amazed that this man with the big glasses who looks very quiet, that he doesn't understand, he can skip like a calf. Okay, go give me back my psalm. Psalm 29, verse 7. Where is it? What's happening there? All right. Got a problem? Satan doesn't want you to see this beautiful psalm. Okay, Psalm 29, verse 7. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. Yes. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. Every attack, fiery darts, flames coming, the voice of the Lord repels it. The girl was giving a testimony. She was listening to the message. It was even like a covering. Voice of the Lord. Because the voice of the Lord will come through somebody. I'll show you in a moment. Flames of fire. Look, there are certain things when you hear them, if somebody says something bad, don't just leave it all. Because if it has occurred to the person, it's a thought that is there for you. It's like, oh, maybe you will die soon or suddenly or unexpectedly. You know, you must immediately speak the word of God against it because it's an imagination. Don't just leave it. I refuse it in Jesus' name. I declare, I block it and I declare the word of God over my life. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. So there are certain ideas. Bible says that we cast down imaginations and thoughts. So when that thought is in somebody's head, it's a bad thought somebody's having. Where does that thought come from? It's an evil thing. You must reject it. Even if you don't reject it to the person, maybe you have to be polite, whatever. You go out the person's presence and reject it. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of every flame that is coming towards your life. The voice of the Lord. So today I may be preaching and I'll teach you something about fornication. Meanwhile, the next person you're about to fornicate with is loaded with HIV. is loaded. Even the outside of the person has HIV. The outside before the inside. Just one touch, and that is it. You are gone. The next diarrhea, you see that it's not a normal diarrhea. The next diarrhea is not a normal diarrhea. You think it is pepper you have. It is not pepper. It is something else. So that flame of fire that was coming to you is divided by the word that you are hearing today. Maybe a man is coming to marry you. He's more than a flame, I tell you. More than a flame. He's going to consume. Fire is something that consumes your life. You should see people who are married, some of them. Their whole life is consumed by the issues of their marriages. They are praying. When they close their eyes, when they close their eyes, the marriage. When they say they are going to wait on God, they say, when they close their eyes, Jesus. Verse 8. Anytime you want a voice of God, Psalm 29. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. You know, wilderness is poverty. Lack of anything. That's why it's a wilderness. There is nothing there. So when you start to hear the voice of the Lord, it shakes the wilderness of lack and poverty in your life. And God starts to bring in prosperity. If I had heard a word of the Lord when I was a student about building, I would have built a house. If I would have owned this Sprinter's Road, it was not valuable in those days. There was nothing at Sprinter's Road. It was a bush. Nobody would like to go near that place. When I was a student, if I had known the voice of the Lord and I'd heard the voice of the Lord telling me, go ye up and build or take a land, stake a claim, I would have had the most expensive. This Sprinter's Road, you can't buy it now. Somebody built a small little something. You spell it 1,500,000 going. It's not a small thing. The voice of the Lord. Shakes the wilderness out of your life. Yeah. So, it has shaken the wilderness of poverty of my life. Oh, yes. And by now, I'll be at consulting room two. Struggling in one of the Kolebu flats. I don't know where I would have been promoted up to now. Maybe I'll still be at the nursing flats. My cushions would have been Kolebu cushions. I know one doctor who was now living Kolebu after about 30 years. He didn't have even cushions. But in my heart, I knew that I would not want to work here for even a day. I could see that it was not a good thing. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. When you look at me, never think of something from abroad. I've never been to school abroad. I've never lived abroad. I've only been in Ghana. And my father told me when I finished school, that's it. You are on your own now. Yes, clearly. Clear. So don't think of something that is from abroad. I'm homegrown cabbage. Yes. Made in Ghana cabbage. Yeah. It's true. Don't think of something from abroad. Sometimes when people see me, you know, one day somebody saw a picture of my father. Said, so you are a Ghanaian. He saw a picture of my father. So I thought you thought I was from where? If I've lived abroad before, I would have even liked to tell them, when I used to stay in Massachusetts or... No. Homegrown cabbage. All my schools are here. Ghana schools here. That's all my schooling. And after that, your father says, look, you are now on your own. I don't have anything to do. You have paid your school fees. I don't have anything for you. He told me, find a place to stay. God's voice has shaken the wilderness out of my life. Yes. You may not believe it, but it can shake the wilderness. When I heard his voice, give thyself holy. Me? I should give my, I don't have anything. I should give myself. I say, give yourself holy. Me? No, maybe him. Say, you. Give you. But I don't have anything. I don't have anything. I don't have anything yet. Don't have anything. Give yourself holy to my work. Yes. And we are still watching. Continue. The next one. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve. You see, it makes you to give birth, to bear fruits. Discover the forest and in his temple that everyone speak of his glory. So what is barren in your life? As you hear the voice of God, you are forced to be fruitful and to bear fruits and to flourish and to prosper. Receive flourishing and prospering in your life. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now, Psalm 106. You don't have to think of the New Testament when we are in the Old Testament. It's working here. Psalm 106. Yea, verse 24. They despise the pleasant land. You know, this was talking to God's people. If you like, read verse 23 or verse 22, just to give a bit of context. Therefore, he said that he would destroy them had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. Verse 24. Yea, they despised the pleasant land. Will you despise the pleasant land? God is giving you pleasant things. So don't look down on it. People look down on church, but I don't look down on church. Even today, pastors look down on church. When they say I'm doing church, they say I'm preaching basics. Keep on doing your basics. Keep on doing my basics. Keep on doing what you say you are doing. We shall see. And we are seeing. They despise the pleasant land. They believe not his word. When God speaks, don't believe. That's 25. They murmured in their tent. You see, when you don't believe, you don't listen, this is what happens. You start grumbling in your tent. You know, you don't grumble openly. In the tent, in the room, in the house, you'll be speaking. And they hearken not to the voice of the Lord. So it's time to believe and it's time to listen. Otherwise, you're going to fall for not believing. You become a murmurer. You start complaining. And look at verse 26. Therefore, he lifted up his hand against them to overthrow them in the wilderness. Do you want God to overthrow you? I said, do you want God to overthrow you in the wilderness? God does not want to overthrow his children. But when you don't hearken to his voice, he overthrows you. In the wilderness, you'll be left alone. You must follow his voice. You do and not knowing the scriptures or the power. Don't let God overthrow you on your road to your long-awaited appointment. Start to listen to his voice and pray, Lord, I want to hear your voice. So as I'm speaking today, you must hear his voice. What is his voice telling you? You know, those little things that you feel in your heart, God, I feel God wants me to do, don't take it lightly. When you don't follow him, he will overthrow you. He'll throw you out. He tries to say, go out. Even me, my small world, people who don't listen to me, I throw them out of my environment. I don't enjoy being with people who don't listen to what I'm saying. If you are working for me, at least you have to follow what I'm saying. Even in areas, different areas of life, if you are say this, you don't want to follow, then don't be in my world. God is saying that when you don't want to listen, out of sight. He will overthrow you. Look at verse 25. 106:25. They murmured in their tent. You see, when you are not listening, you are talking. That's why I don't like it when people are talking when I'm talking. If you are here and listening, listen. Don't be whispering on the side. Instead of hearing, you are talking, murmuring. And they hearken not to the voice of the Lord. They didn't listen. Therefore, what did God do in verse 26? He overthrew them. You will never be overthrown in Jesus' name. But it's not about just saying I will not be overthrown, but you must decide I'm going to listen. I'm going to listen. I'm going to listen. And let the word of God be powerful. If your mother couldn't change you, your father couldn't change you, your school teacher couldn't change, nobody could change you. The voice of God must break every flame and every cedar in your life. Can I have an amen from somebody? Tell your neighbor something that your mother couldn't make you do or your father couldn't make you do. Tell him. Confess your faults one to another. Are they telling you something real or they are just telling you a story? Tell the person, be serious and say the thing well and not. Wow. Isaiah. Isaiah. Beautiful. Isaiah. I'm just wondering which of the Isaiahs. It's just marvelous. We are getting to the end, but I want you to listen to this Isaiah 1. Isaiah 30, verse 20. Are you there? Now notice, Isaiah chapter 30, verse number 20. Now, though the Lord give you the bread of adversity. You see, this is like a little mystical. It means, you know, though you've had troubles, that's what he's trying to say. Is it amazing? Though you've had troubles. And the water of affliction is another poetic way of saying troubles. Listen, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore. You see, from now you must not move your teachers into a corner. I said, go. You can't push away God's word to you to a corner. It is one of the mistakes to push your teacher into a corner. I don't want to hear this. So put this podcast in whatever, this business of preaching camp and whatever, Bible, whatever, put it in the corner. It says, yet shall thy teachers not be removed into a corner anymore. Huh? But thine eyes shall see thy teachers. You must let your eyes see your teachers. That's why you must come to church. Thine eyes shall see thy teachers. And verse 21. Beautiful. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way. This is the way. This is the way. Walk here. Walk here. When you turn to the right and when you turn to the left. This is the way. Guidance. Through your life, God is going to guide you through the teachers whom you will not sack to a corner anymore. But your eyes will see your teachers. And your ears will hear a word from behind. You see, you may not even see, but you just hear a word. Saying, this is it. This is the way. Your whole life is going to change. And you are no more going to be associated with mistakes anymore. Can I have an amen from somebody? So from today, it says, you do err or you do make mistakes. Because you don't know the scripture, you don't know the voice. When the voice comes, look, some of you should be hearing God. You know, if you are here, God hasn't ever spoken to you to give an offering to the man of God. You see, there are certain things, if you are hearing God's word, there are certain things God says. It is God. There are some types of things God says. To honor fathers, to honor his prophets. Or maybe God may say he wants to send you. Look at Isaiah 6. Isaiah 6. Look at verse 8. Isaiah 6. He says, also, I heard the voice. You see, the voice of God, there are some characteristic things he sort of says. If you'll be hearing his voice. You know, like bad boys, they have some characteristic things they say. I love you, baby. Hi. Yeah, well, I just spend we sleep together tonight and I'll see you. But there are some characteristic things they say. There are also some characteristic things that the voice of God says. That's it. He says, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying. He said, if you've heard the voice of God, you hear. He says, whom shall I send? He said, God spoke to you. If you are likely to hear God sending you, if you ever hear his voice, you are likely to hear God sending you somewhere to do something practically. And I heard the voice of the Lord say, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I. Send me. I'd like to go. And he said, go and tell these people. Then he's not telling you what to do. Go and tell these people. Hear ye indeed, but understand not. And they see indeed, but they perceive not. This is what Jesus quoted for. Make the heart of these people fat and make their ears heavy, lest when they see with their eyes and they hear with their ears and understand and they convert and be healed. You know, this is what Jesus quoted from. Jesus quoted mostly from Isaiah. This was his favorite book, Isaiah. Jesus' favorite book from the Old Testament was Isaiah. Most of his quotations were from Isaiah. But are you with me? If you meet a strange woman, there are some things she will say. You can hear her voice. Even her voice, when her voice comes, it may cause a feeling in your body. You know, I'm trying to help you to understand different kinds of voices. If you meet a strange man, he's likely to say certain things. Uh-huh. Yes. And if you are hearing from God, you are likely to hear him say certain things. And he says, you shall hear a voice. I heard a voice. The voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? God is always looking for somebody to send. So if you are hearing his voice, you are hearing his voice. Isaiah 30, 20. Look at it again. Isaiah 30, 20. And though the Lord has given you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teachers shall no more be moved into a corner in your life from today, in Jesus' name. Never move your teachers, your pastors, and your leaders. Don't push them aside and say, put God aside and let's deal with this. How do you put God aside? But thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way. Walk in it. Leadership for your life is through the voice of God. The voice of God is what you need. The voice of God has brought me here. The voice of God made me shake hands with Kenneth Hagin at least once before he died. The voice of God made Archbishop Idahosa pray for me. Before he, 2 weeks before he died. Yes. Because God told me to go and honor him. And I did. I didn't know he would be dead in exactly 2 weeks. He was going to die 2 weeks after that day. He was healthily moving around in Accra. Dedicating churches. And God told me, go and honor him. Today we have, just as he had a Bible school, International Bible School. That's what we have it now. Eh? We are seeing it, practically. Yeah. It's happening practically. Yeah. There are some type of things God says. Who shall I send? Is come on. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Say, who shall I send? It's common. These are common things that you hear this voice saying. Is there somebody I can send? You know how your father is in us? Who is that? And he said, nobody is here. Who exactly is there? Me. Who is me? You mentioned somebody else's name. John is there. It's the type of thing, if your father is in the house, you will hear. If he's not in the house, you will not hear such things. Yes. I used to hear my neighbor's father calling him in the house. He called him. This is how he calls him. I knew everybody's whistle in the house until he died. He called this one. Everybody has a whistle. He calls his children with whistles. But when he died, there was no more voice in the house. Yes. No more calling. So, I don't know who you are, but I want to recommend the voice of God for your life. The voice of God is the greatest thing. The lovely voice of God. The lovely voice of God. When God guides you, your life starts to go in a high direction. Remember Psalm 29, I think verse 3. It says that the voice of the Lord is full of majesty. It's full of majesty. It's powerful. Yes, it's powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. So when you hear his voice and you start to follow, you are starting to go into royalty in your life. Stand to your feet. Are you still around or you are leaving? If you want a short service, we have other churches. You can go. There are so many other churches. We don't have short service here, okay? Tell your neighbor, be serious. We are here for serious things. How many love the lovely voice of God? Lift your hands and ask God. Tell God, I want to hear your voice and I want you to guide me in my life, in my ministry. I want the royal, majestic voice of God to take over my life and lead me. Father, thank you for your guidance. Thank you. We block the voice of devils, the voice of depressions, the voice of evil that is trying to make a way into our lives. We reject it and we say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your blessing and your voice which guides us in a beautiful way today. Thank you for blessing us and guiding us in a wonderful way today. We are grateful, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. And as every head is bowed and every eye closed, if you are here today, you want to give your life to Jesus, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to God. If you are here like that, just lift your right hand and I'm going to pray with you. You want to give your life to God. This is a voice of God speaking to you. Give your life to him. Give your heart to him. If you are here like that, lift your hand. I'm going to pray with you. Pastor, I want to be born again. I want my sins to be washed away. I want to be a new person. Your right hand must be up. If you've lifted your hand, come to me in the front. Come to stand here quickly. I'm going to pray with you in front here. Quickly. Come. You want to give your life to Jesus. God bless you. I want to pray with you right here. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.
Let him have his way.
Come unto Jesus. Come unto Jesus. Come unto Jesus. Give your life to him. Give your life to him. Say this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. I give my heart to you. Please wash me with the blood of Jesus. Today, I humble myself. I give my life to God. Say, I give my life to God. I give my heart to Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for saving me today. Close your eyes. Say, please write my name in the book of life. From today, I am a child of God and I will serve God in Jesus' name. Lift your hand like this. Say after me, Satan, I bind you. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. From today, I will not follow you again. I'm following Jesus Christ. Lift your two hands. Say, thank you, Lord, for saving me in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Now, I want to give you a present for coming to give your life to Jesus. It's your birthday present. You are born again. Amen. It's a very expensive book. This book is 40 CDs for one. But I'm giving it to you free as a gift. Okay? To mark today. Because whenever you are born again, you must get a present. Amen. Oh, amen. Amen. All right. When we close, all of you here who are holding the book, it's your ticket. There's a special meeting at this side. If you are holding the book, come to this side. God is going to change your life as soon as we close. God bless you. You may go back to your seat. It's time for communion. Sit down for a moment.
This is my body, which is broken for you. Drink, this is my blood, which is poured out for you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. The cup of blessing which we bless, it's the communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break, it's the communion of the body of Christ.
See the blood. Go to London, some parts of London, there's only Jews who are there. So at the same time that we are saying Happy Easter, they have Happy Passover. They write big, they don't use the word Easter. So all through the city, gold is green, and so you see Passover, Passover, Passover. 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 Whatever is evil planning to attack you will be forced to pass over. Oh, please sit down. Please sit down. They are still giving the communion. Yeah. Pass over. Pass over. What does it mean, pass over? It means go to the next, avoiding you and going to the next. Whatever has targeted you, and it has targeted you, will pass over you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Do you believe it? Jesus said, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has life. So death is passing over. Yeah. So Jesus was crucified at that time. Because he was the real lamb. The lamb that makes you escape. You see, the Israelites ate the lamb and killed the Passover. They actually just said, we killed the Passover. They don't even say the lamb, Passover. We killed it. So, the Jews escaped the death that came to town. Now, Jesus Christ, from Matthew 23... he was examined by the Pharisees for 4 days. Do you remember when we watched the film? They said 5 days ago, this man came here. You were all hailing him. He came there for investigations. And he was questioned seriously. That's what they do for the lamb. They have to get a lamb without blemish. They have to examine it very well before the Passover. That is a spotless and an appropriate lamb. So as Jesus was questioned and interrogated, that's how they examined the lamb. Whether it's without blemish, their bones, everything is not a wrong lamb. So from Matthew to all those questions, what is the greatest commandment? What is this? Why do you, if a man dies seven times, he marries seven times, and who will be the one? He was examining intensely from Matthew 23 up to 26 for those 5 days every day in the temple. And then he became the real Lamb of God for the whole world, not from just Goshen. So now, whatever evil was coming to Goshen, to the whole of Egypt, the world, that was the world, because of the Lamb, they were exempted. And today, because of that Lamb on the cross, Jesus said, I'm the Lamb. John said, behold the Lamb that taketh away the sins of the world. He was the Lamb of God, the Lamb, the Lamb, the Lamb. So when he gave, he says, yeah, that's what John said. Behold the Lamb, which takes away the sin of the world. So, you see, your sin is the reason why you must die, your mistake. But the Lamb is taking away your mistake. Hallelujah. So today is a day of exemption for you from all punishment that is rightfully yours. Must be punished, but a day of exemption has been declared for you. Yes. All your mistakes, God is granting you exemption, forgiveness, and escapes in Jesus' name. So as we take this lamp, Ha Shando Kabaya, Malombe Le Mekiba, if your sins were numbered, even yesterday's sins, you cannot stand. Stand to your feet. Father, as we come before this lamp, we declare this bread to be the flesh of Jesus Christ. And as we partake of it, we thank you that we are granted divine escapes from all the plagues of Egypt, the plagues of the world, the frogs and the lice and the condemnations, judgments for the sins of the world. Thank you for many standing here today that are granted a longer life, divine exemption from admission to hospital, divine exemption from amputation of legs and arms and accidents. In Jesus' name, divine exemptions from all types of wickedness aimed against us in our lives. Thank you for the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, the body of Jesus Christ. Is the most powerful liquid on earth. Father, we thank you. This is now declared the blood of Jesus Christ. Whatever sin you have committed, whatever mistake you've made, whatever opens a door and opens a gate for the enemy to come in like a flood, as you partake of the blood, may you be granted a divine escape. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let grace find you. Let goodness find you. When the devil is looking for you, he cannot find you anymore. When judgment is looking for you, he cannot find you anymore. When death is coming, you shall escape. In the name of Jesus Christ. When sicknesses are being shed, you are escaping. When diagnoses are being made, diagnosis of evil diseases, you shall escape the evil diagnosis. When reports are coming from the laboratory, yours will be a good one. You shall escape the evil day and the evil report by the blood of the Lamb that taketh away the sins of the world, the blood of Jesus.
Lift your hands. Receive your blessing. Your prophetic blessing. Anointed prophetic blessing and predictions for your future. Whatever makes someone feel sorry for you, today I declare that thing that makes people say sorry. Sorry about this, sorry about this. I command it to be wiped away from your life in Jesus' name. The blessing of the Lord has come and has replaced and been superimposed upon your life. For the Lord said to Moses, "Thus shall you bless the people." Receive a blessing of God to be superimposed over your life. I command your house to be a blessed house. Your dwelling place to be a blessed dwelling place. Your food to be blessed and your water to be blessed. Any dark entity coming near your house, I repel it in Jesus' name. Any dark figure of evil targeting your home, targeting your family, targeting your children, targeting your parents, in the name of Jesus, I repel it in Jesus' name. You are declared blessed and healed. Now receive healing. Receive healing. Receive healing. Every malady, every pain in your body, every unresolving disease, incurable condition, any fear from a disease, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. You are declared cured and covered and blessed. Any temperamental aspect of you in your character that makes you unmarriageable, I declare you are healed of it today in Jesus' name. Hardness when you should be soft and softness when you should be hard, be healed of such anomalies in your life in Jesus' name. Softness when you should be hard and hardness when you should be soft, be healed of every abnormality in your life in Jesus' name. I speak to confusion. Any form of uncertainty, instability, confusion about many things, receive clarity of mind now. Receive peace of mind now. Receive clarity now. The way for you is clear. Receive the voice of God in your life, powerful and majestic into your life. I see a path. I said, I see a path. Begin to walk on the path. Walk on the path. For God has ordained a path that will get brighter and brighter until the full day. Now I lift up my hand in the name of Jesus against leopard spirit that come by night. Anything that attacks you suddenly, surprisingly, in the night, I curse it in Jesus' name. I curse leopard spirit in Jesus' name. I bind cat spirit in the name of Jesus. Every infiltration to your dwelling place that is moving through your windows and through your house, from upstairs to downstairs, I curse it. I say, go out in the name of Jesus. Receive the covering of the Lord. Anything that moves by night, every lion spirit that is moving by night, hey, to frighten you, to bring fear, I curse it now in the name of Jesus. Whatever is a surprise that you are not expecting, I say, surprise, go back. Every negative surprise, go back. Go back. Crocodile spirit, dragon spirit, I curse you, go back now in the name of Jesus. Get back from the people now in Jesus' name. Lift your hand, everybody. I speak against locusts. I see locusts in the air. I say, go back. Whatever takes away prosperity, whatever takes away our farms, I curse it. blessings in the name of Jesus. Whatever makes somebody say sorry to you, he will not need to say sorry. You'll be hearing congratulations from now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Receive congratulations and blessings from the Lord in the mighty name of Jesus. I see a strong man. A man who doesn't want to go in your life. And I say to you, strong man, I bind you now in the name of Jesus. I bind a strong man in your life who says, I will never let you go. I say, you will let her go. You will let him go. You will let him go. You are letting him go now. Now, 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 now. In Jesus' name, go. You are free from every demonic hold over your life. Serpents are falling down. I cut off the head of anaconda spirit, python spirit, and all types of devil. In Jesus' name, freedom has come. Healing has come. Blessings have come. You are not going to fall. I say you are not going to fall. You are standing strong and firm in Jesus. The grace of God has located you. Now, become a blessing to many people. Become a payer of somebody's school fees. Become a blessing to somebody who needs help in the name of Jesus Christ. Receive the grace of God, not only to receive, but also to give. In the name of Jesus, you are declared a blessing. With the blessings of Abraham, in Jesus' mighty name, lift your hands. Thank him especially for the strong man, the strong man, the strong man in your life. Very strong. Never let you go. But today is his last hour. He is going with all his luggage and everything that he brought out of your life. Give thanks to God now. Give thanks to God. Whatever is strong in your life that has possessed you and possessed your life, you are free from it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your help and your peace that you give to your people. Give the Lord a mighty praise. Give the Lord a shout of victory. I see the walls of Jericho falling down in your life. Every high wall, every wall that says no entry, God is bringing down that wall. God is bringing down that wall. I see the gates opening to you. God is giving you access. God is giving you the city. God is giving you what you didn't have before. God is taking you somewhere where you never went before. Yeah, the walls of Jericho are down in your life. In the mighty name of Jesus. Whatever city say you cannot come here, God says you are going there in Jesus' name. Whatever place said you cannot come here, has spoken to you that you will never be there, I say you'll be there in Jesus' name by the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, thank you for victory. Stamp your feet. A scorpion is dying under your foot now in Jesus' name. Every scorpion, serpent, insect is trampled under now in the name of Jesus. Every creeping thing and every creature that seeks to enter your body, enter your intestines, enter your skin, I curse it now in Jesus' name. You are covered by the oil and by the anointing. In 2 weeks, you see something wonderful you've not seen before. God's power is doing something great for you. God is doing something wonderful in your life. Thank you, Father. Lift your hand and pray. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. Everybody pray, pray, pray. Very important. In 2 weeks, something wonderful. Receive a prophetic and anointed word. The voice of God. Saloma. Mando karambalaba. Mentala mana sumba lababa. Hey lama. I see peace. I said, I see peace. Receive peace. Receive peace. Whatever is troubled, I command peace. Peace has arrived. Peace and calm. Peace and calm. In Jesus' name. Give the Lord a mighty shout and clap. Give the Lord a thanksgiving.
We believe you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. For audio CDs, DVDs, books, and other resources by Dykewood Mills, please visit our website at www.dykewoodmills.org. God richly bless you.